Today's episode of the Film Stage Roundtable is brought to you by Mubi, the online streaming cinema. For your free 30-day trial of Mubi, go to mubi.com/filmstage.
Try to see it my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I can go on? While you see it your way, run the risk of knowing that our love may soon be gone. We can work it out. We can work it out.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to a brand new episode of the Film Stage Roundtable. This is the spin-off podcast from the Film Stage Show, which is the movie review podcast of thefilmstage.com. As always, I'm your host, Brian J. Rowan, and with me today to talk about topics related to cinema as a whole, we have Michael Snydell.
Happy Wednesday, guys.
Woo! Wednesday. As the camel would call it, hump day. We also have Bill Graham.
It's just Wednesday, Lemon.
Solid 30 Rock reference. All right. So, we are here today not to review a movie, but instead to talk about some random topics related to film as a whole, tangentially related to movie news and movie goings-ons, but today's are a little more fun, a little more creative, you might say. So let's get through the housekeeping so that we can then dive straight into that nonsense. First of all, you can follow us on Twitter at Film Stage Show. You can follow us on Facebook, search for The Film Stage Show, and you can email us podcast@thefilmstage.com. And that's pretty much it. We always, of course, like to get iTunes comments and reviews, but you people at home never give them to us. So why even bother bringing it up? That's right. I've gone from polite begging to treating you at home like children. Because as a father now...
Oh, I thought you were going to go topical and say United.
Oh, God. If I were treating people like United, that would mean I'd have to literally just like beat the hell out of them and drag them to a computer so that they could put in their comment and review.
Maybe slightly less than United.
Spoiler alert, if it's a bad review, you're getting another beating. So
it's not this week if someone doesn't make a United joke.
I made a United meme. It was Brad Pitt from Fight Club saying, I want you to reaccommodate me as hard as you can. And I thought that was super clever and that I would get a ton of action on Twitter, and I got nothing. So I don't even know what I'm doing anymore.
I reposted it. I sent it to some friends, and I didn't get much reaction to it either. I don't understand.
I saw it and I was uncomfortable.
Well, as long as I made Mike uncomfortable, I'm pretty happy. As always, the Film Stage Show and Film Stage Roundtable are brought to you by Mubi, the streaming online cinema. At Mubi, they have curators who select by hand. Literally, they go and they touch the celluloid and bring it to their scanners. Nope, that's not true at all. So anyway, they every day select a film to feature on their Mubi app and Mubi website. And you have 30 days to watch those films before they disappear forever. So you have a constantly rotating selection of 30 films to watch. And these are not films that you will find on Netflix that are like... what is up with Netflix? Where are they finding like these low-budge horror films that have titles like, you know, My Eyes Were Taken Out by the Devil? Like, where do they get these things?
That's a pretty good like, title, honestly.
They're going to like the Santa Cruz
I'm
Film
curious.
Festival.
I'm curious.
I was actually going to say I'd watch something called My Eyes Were Taken Out by the Devil. But anyway, Mubi finds great foreign, independent, and all-around great cinema to bring to your house. You can watch it on your phone, your tablet, your smart TV, or your PC or laptop, and your Wi-Fi enabled devices are able to download these movies so you can watch them on the go. So check out Mubi, that is MUBI.com/filmstage for your free 30-day trial on us. Mubi, I can't remember the tagline we came up with last time, but I'm pretty sure it was something about misanthropy.
It was verbose.
Yeah, it was not a tagline.
Unnecessarily verbose.
Unnecessarily verbose should be my middle name. Like, if I were a prize fighter, it would be Brian Unnecessarily Verbose Rowan. Which I am...
Don't ever hand him the mic.
Jeez.
Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready for the main event? And then I just snatch the mic from him, and I'm like, actually, before we begin the main event, I have thoughts. So anyway, speaking of having thoughts, we have a couple of topics that we're going to get into. So the first one today is related to some news that came out about the film that we're going to be reviewing next week. I guess technically this week, depending on if you start your weeks on Saturdays, Sundays, or Mondays.
Don't you dare spoil me. What's going on?
Oh, Bill. Well, right now, let me just say that we're going to talk about what franchise we're going to send into space. So this past week, related to the release of Fate of the Furious, the eighth film in the weirdly named Fast and Furious franchise, one of the franchise writers said out loud to someone who put it on the internet that he was totally cool with the idea of taking the gang, the family, into space, which is something that anyone who's been watching the Fast and Furious movies since, I would say, about Fast 5 has been aching for. So, we are here today to talk about...
they're in submarines, they're jumping out of planes, you know.
Space, for them, is quite literally the final frontier. So, we're excited about that possibility, because they've got like another three films coming up. So, we wanted to say to ourselves and to you, the listeners...
How many planets are there?
A shit ton, Bill.
No. In our solar system. is there nine?
It's eight.
Would that
now
be perfect?
Because
damn it.
Pluto doesn't count. But then there's that weird, like, mega planet that they found evidence
the
of.
The one next to Pluto?
But it's, like, it's so far out and it's so dark that we haven't seen it, so I don't think it counts yet. There's just, like, gravitational evidence for it. I don't know. Anyway, so we're going to talk about what other franchises we would
Pluto,
like to see.
Pluto. Even fucking up the Fast and the Furious franchise. Like, come on, scientists. You've
maybe
done
that's
us dirty,
the next
man.
Fast movie. Maybe they're going to go into space to save Pluto. Like, to go there and reclaim
maybe
Pluto
they can,
as a planet.
They can bulk it up. The Rock and Vin Diesel can go to Pluto and show it how to bulk up so it can become an actual planet.
They will give
you gotta,
Pluto...
You gotta,
I'm just, like, imagining, like, them
30,000 calories a day.
Creatine.
I thought you were going to say, like, they're big enough that if they were to go on Pluto, it would have the necessary mass to be named a planet.
I want them to give Pluto some bulking up tips. That's what I want to hear. Planet-sized tips.
This is a supremely bizarre thing we're talking about. But it's only going to get worse because we're talking about what franchises we would love to send into space. So, let's start with Michael Snydell. What franchise would you send into space?
Well, guys, there's a lot of, like, you know, marquee franchises that you could say would have a good time in space. But the one I thought of, it's weird to call it a franchise because there's only been two films, but it's actually The Raid. And I wasn't the biggest fan of The Raid 2 because personally,
that
I don't
a little
think
long.
It didn't need to be 2.5+ hours. Even though it has some amazing scenes, but I guess what really made me think about that is I started thinking about the car scenes in The Raid 2, which are among some of the best car chase fights I've ever seen in a movie, and some of the only car chase fights I've ever seen in a movie. And so I started thinking about what that film could be like in zero G, and just how... like an entire spaceship could just be just splattered and covered in blood. And I just started getting giddy at the prospect of this idea. So I don't know how the fuck The Raid ends up in space. You know, something Yakuza, you know, Mars colony. Actually, you know what?
Well, like,
this isn't
like,
that
honestly,
hard to do.
honestly, this was what when they first recruited the Star Wars guy or the Raid guys to be in Star Wars, a lot of people were like, give them a lightsaber, please, God. Like, oh, my God. Could you imagine them with like hand to hand combat with like a lightsaber or like maybe a short lightsaber?
Right. Like a something dagger.
Yeah. And they barely have any choreography at all, I believe, in Force Awakens. Like,
They run away. There. Like, they stand there like a rugby firm that's like getting ready to rumble with another rugby firm, and then they don't really ever rumble.
We need to say that.
All right, so that's interesting. So you just want to take rogue cop who does Pentax a lot, I think is what it's called, and just send him to space to fight other rogue martial
artists.
Yeah,
like Yakuza in space with, you know,
what if they do
that sense
like
of gymnastics?
A fight club in space. Like,
yeah.
Like a high stakes fight club. Like, millions of dollars are on the line.
He like infiltrates it to bring down.
Maybe not even in space, maybe just in zero G. Maybe they figure out a way to fight.
Comet?
Yeah.
I want some, like, why don't you play in hell level insanity.
Yeah, like, literally for a movie like that, I feel like you could have them fighting on top of a spaceship that's completely unrelated to them, and they just get, like, stuck, and they kick the crew out, but the thing is, like, on an autopilot, and it just goes, and so
two,
it's like, uh-oh, we're in space now.
Like, crap.
It's like just Battle Royale inside that small cabin.
Especially if it was, like, a John Glenn era one.
Oh, man. So tell me this isn't awesome, guys.
It's just like two guys fighting in a zero-G broom closet. It would be really hard to choke someone to death in space, I feel, because there'd be an extreme lack of gravity. You know how, like, in every movie, like, you get the guy on the floor, you wrap your legs around his waist, and then you, like, choke him from behind. But, like, in space, he could just, like, start spinning around and just throw you off. I love this idea.
Endless suplexes.
I'm super okay with this idea. But we got to move on. We got to see what other ideas we got. So, Bill Graham, what franchise are you sending to space?
So, this is probably my most ridiculous idea, right next to Michael's. But honestly, at this point, it can't get any crazier than returning to the park. So, it's got to be Jurassic Park.
God damn it. God, you know what? It's so lucky that I had two selected, because I was like,
I have two as well.
All right. Well, we can get into your second one later after I do mine. But okay. So Jurassic Park, I'm interested to see how you do this, because I had thoughts.
Oh, I didn't have any thoughts.
Oh, so
all I want to see is a dinosaur in a spacesuit. That would make my life.
A dinosaur in a spacesuit?
Yes.
Okay.
Why not?
All right.
Why not?
Because I was thinking, so you know how, like, at the end of Interstellar, I guess spoilers for Interstellar, they have that, or even Elysium, like, they have those giant, like, circular space ships.
Sure, sure.
Like,
Yeah.
So it's a common trope, oddly enough, in a science fiction where you basically
ever
have
since
a cylinder,
2001.
Yeah. But on like a citywide scale, so you have like, you're standing in your lawn and you look up and you see people on the other side of the inside of this ring that is spinning to create gravity. So I was thinking, like, it's the future. People are living in space stations around the world that have this architecture. And in Interstellar, there was an interesting scene where a kid hit a baseball too hard.
Yeah.
And it went
and
so,
it
like,
caught gravity.
Yeah,
right?
And so it like broke a window in the house of the guy above him, and so I was like, okay, it's the future. People are doing this, and you know, you've got your people living there. Sure, you can play baseball, but like, what about dinosaurs? So they open a Jurassic Park on one of these space stations. It's like a Six Flags, you know. There's one basically in every place. So they open it.
So hold on. So. The Jurassic Park is located like above or below people, and they can just kind of observe like above them, but the animals can't get to them, right?
Oh, well, Bill, that all depends. Because what if a velociraptor were to climb high enough, and we all know that velociraptors are excellent jumpers, and it jumps, and so it gets out by catching the center of gravity and falling to the other place, and suddenly you've got a velociraptor on the run. And then that causes
and
enough havoc.
And then you hit like one of these areas where it's weak and it starts letting in or starts letting out all the air. And then you have to put them inside of spacesuits.
Yes, we could get them into spacesuits. Right. Yes! That could be the other thing is like, okay, we've come up with a way to defeat the dinosaurs, like the bad dinosaurs, you know, quote unquote. We just have to like let the air out of this section. And so we've got to put the good dinosaurs in spacesuits.
Yes.
This idea is sublime.
This is the best idea we've ever had. My other thought was it's a space station. This would be more of an aliens idea, is you're taking these dinosaurs to the space station. And so, you know, they've got like shuttle one is filled with a bunch of baby brachiosaurs. And then shuttle two is like, oh, it's a baby T-Rex. And then shuttle three is like full grown velociraptors. And so it blasts off from Earth, and some guy's like, you know, this thing's going to wake up on our way. And it's like, no, they've been given tranquilizers. It's fine. But no one ever tested what a velociraptor's metabolism does in a zero-G environment. So on the way,
Jesus, Brian, you've actually thought about this.
Here's the thing.
I just see the same sequence from Jurassic Park, the opening sequence, which is, by the way, masterful. Oh, yeah. I see that sequence like playing out again. In space.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. It's beautiful. And so this velociraptor gets out.
Starts
messing stuff up. And you can't shoot it because they don't have any guns. They have tranquilizer guns. But then the velociraptor like cuts a power cord. And so the rotation of this space freighter stops. And so then it's zero G. And so then you have a situation where a bunch of like space truckers are in zero G trying to fight a raptor that is also in zero G. And
just
it's just fucking mayhem, man. And you're using like pure oxygen tanks that you light on fire to try to stop this thing. You try to lure it into an airlock, but it won't be lured because it's smarter than you are. So it actually gets you in the airlock.
And because the entire ship is made out of metal, you can hear it walking around and click, 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 click.
Yeah, that big claw just clack, clacking all over the place.
Ah, this is perfect.
This is a great idea. I'm very glad we thought of this.
Okay, so... my backup option was a serious option, and it is actually Blade Runner.
Okay, well, Bill, let me first stop you. There's nothing not serious about Jurassic Park in space.
Yeah, what about The Raid? Come on.
That's the thing. Michael,
how
this
dare
could work
you?
Both ways, because what if the space truckers were your Raid guys?
Oh
my God.
So it's basically like The Raid versus Velociraptors from Jurassic Park in space.
Oh, yes.
And then you could build it up even more into like kind of a, what is that movie, Lockout, where it's like, oh, no, it's going to crash into Earth. But in this case, it's like, if we don't kill this Velociraptor because we can't, it's keeping us from the pilot's desk.
You know what we need?
It could crash into the space station.
We need to get Thomas Toll on this podcast because he apparently makes shit happen and crazy shit happen, like King Kong versus Godzilla and things like that. We need to get him on this podcast so he can make that shit happen. And if you don't know who Thomas Toll is, that is the guy behind Legendary Pictures.
Yes.
Who has a ton of money, apparently.
if I had that option, if I were in the elevator with him, I would say, all right, Tommy, I got you for 2 seconds, so I'm going to be very brief. Raid meets Velociraptors in space, go. And really, what this is all building up to is my giant, you know, idea for a shared universe wherein Velociraptors eventually fight both predators and aliens.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Anyway, Bill, you're going to say Blade Runner.
Yes, Blade Runner, because so far it seems like all these films are taking place in L.A. or is it New York? I can't remember.
I think it's L.A.
And so we keep hearing, I just recently watched the first Blade Runner, the final cut version, not for the first time, well, at least the final cut version for the first time, but and so I was struck by how kind of intriguing it sounds like some of the off-world stuff is, and I'm like, let's go there. Like, let's figure out what the androids' lives are like out there, where they're not regulated, where they're not controlled, where they're kind of let loose and they have free reign of the place. They can be pleasure bots. They can be warriors. They can be movers. They can be all sorts of things out there. So they get to kind of live their best lives. And I wonder what being a human in that environment kind of feels like. So that was my idea.
Well, yeah, especially because there's that whole speech that Rutger Hauer's character gives, where he mm-hmm. says, "I watch sea beams glitter in the dark near the Tannhauser Gate, and like attack ships on fire off of Orion or something." It's like, well, what the hell's all that? Like, why aren't we watching some of that right now?
Yeah, who turned off all the lights? Come on.
So my other option. And this is something that I've thought of for a little while, because the Jurassic Park thing has been in my head for way too long.
Since you were 9 years old.
Probably. way before the raid existed. But basically, like, getting a velociraptor into space has been my idea for a while. My other concept that I wanted to throw out was Toy Story. So
Buzz Lightyear. Yes.
So when you see videos of astronauts, like, they always have like some tchotchkes from home, so I'm thinking,
oh shit, Andy goes to space. Yes.
And he goes up to little what's her face and says, I'm going to space. It was Buzz Lightyear that made me want to go to space. I'd really love to be able to take my Buzz Lightyear doll up to space. And of course Woody ain't gonna let that happen, so Woody tags along. And then, you know, the other astronauts could have something like, oh, my daughter made me bring her octopus into space. And so it's what the toys get up to in the secret vacuum of space, well, and all the nuttiness that happens.
Obviously, one of the guys has to have a villain. I'm thinking maybe for Woody, but I was, you know, might as well throw it back and just go number two again, and just have the bad guy from number two back again, because one of the other astronauts is like, nah, I always like the bad guys, man.
Yeah, the Buzz Lightyear guy.
Yeah, Andy's like, well, I always like the good guys. And it's like, boom, there you go. Perfect setup.
Okay, I just had an idea that is equally as great. What if one of the guys, in a very meta move, brings a like toy model of the alien from the movie Aliens? And so when everyone goes to sleep, this alien toy,
velociraptor.
We could do a velociraptor. We could do toy velociraptors and aliens. And so when the people are like not looking or go to sleep, you know how Buzz Lightyear woke up and he was like, I am Buzz Lightyear, and had to like be convinced he was a toy. It's like that whole arc all over again, except this time the toy just wants to murder everyone.
Yes, it could be a velociraptor, because we've already established the Tyrannosaurus Rex because of Rex.
Yeah, and there was a Triceratops in one of the movies too.
Yeah.
This almost sounds like a robot chicken sketch, but actually good. But there's definitely like a, oh, let's make this edgy and horrifying. But also, if you can make this cute and fun and, you know, actually there's a short, a Toy Story short, shoot, I wish I had the name up right now, but it is about...
While you look at that, I should have mentioned that this is still going to be a comedy. I'm not making this a horror movie. Like,
sure.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I envision a point where, like, you know how Buzz Lightyear did that thing where he tried to use the laser, but it didn't work at all? Like, the toys are trying to keep the alien from getting to the sleeping human, and the alien makes it, and it opens its mouth, and it lets out its little inner mouth. But because it's a toy, it just kind of like pokes the guy in his sleep. And then because they're in zero G, the alien flies backwards. And so then you can go into like a Land Before Time 2 type of thing, where the civilized quote unquote toys have to try to civilize quote unquote the feral meat eater toy, and are like, no, come on, Xenomorph, like, this, let's just be cool, man.
We would have to come up with a name for them, because they're not technically xenomorphs.
They'll give him a name. They'll call him
Deep Thoughts. Deep Thoughts.
Oh, I thought that was your suggestion for the name. I was like, yeah, Deep Thoughts is fine. Anyway, Michael, you were gonna say?
Yeah, okay, I found it. It's called Toy Story of Terror. It's a Halloween TV special based on Toy Story, and it's kind of a slasher. Well, I shouldn't say a ripoff because it's pretty well done, but it's a whole thing is that like one by one, a monster in the darkness is just picking off the Toy Story characters. And it's like a Halloween kid story, and it's really good. And like, I'm just thinking
about this was on like ABC or something like that, right?
Yeah.
I remember seeing this, seeing previews for it, and being like, "Nope, that's stupid. I'm never watching that." And this is the same guy that will eagerly watch a Toy Story 4 if it ever comes out.
There was like a trend for a while in like I think the earlier mid 90s where like the Halloween episodes of kids shows would get super dark.
Sure.
Like. There was a Boy Meets World where everyone got murdered. I think there was a Punky Brewster where that happened too.
Mm.
Very strange. any other like toss offs that we have? Like Mike, Bill and I both had two. Did you have a second one that you rattled around with for a bit?
No, I just kind of became enthralled with the idea of the raid in space. I didn't really get past that.
Okay.
Much like me with dinosaurs and spacesuits. I was like, that's enough. Guys, enough thinking for today.
I honestly was thinking I wasn't going to watch Jurassic World 2. If you guys make this happen, I will watch another Jurassic Park movie.
Jurassic Park in space. I do. I love every idea that I've had. And the best part is that basically you can make either of those movies the sequel to itself because... No matter what goes wrong, we know that they're going to keep trying to make Jurassic Park happen. So it's not going to be like, why would they still try to put it on a space station after that Velociraptor killed all those space truckers? Or it's just like, because they feel like it. And likewise, it's like, why are they trucking more Velociraptors into space when that one got out previously and hurt so many people? It's like, well, because Jurassic Park apparently has the best insurance on Earth. All right. Let's talk about some of the things that were sent in by our audience. Not that many responses to this, surprisingly. I was a little shocked. I was expecting this to be a big one. But here we go. Maggie said Mad Max, which is an interesting choice. She also said, ooh. And John Wick, but only if the dog gets to come too. Which... I'm not sure.
Put it in a spacesuit. Put it in a spacesuit.
Bill's just on board for anything that happens as long as there's
a good catchphrase.
Spacesuit. All right, and then we have Myth Addict who said, "I say Richard Linklater's Before series. We can Trojan horse it by telling the dummies at Paramount that it's an Event Horizon prequel." And then Donnie Pacheco said, "Ride Along." And Thomas Keller said, "I'm still waiting for Machete Kills in space."
Yep. The obvious one.
So those are good. I'm just, again, surprised that we didn't get more. But we haven't done really a listener response in a while because so much of what we've been talking about has been a little more heady recently. So we got to get more of these goofy things in so people feel comfortable responding. Don't worry. We'll figure out where to take our franchises next, and it'll be somewhere crazy. Speaking of taking people
underwater.
Underwater. Again,
put them in suits.
Jurassic Park.
Put them in suits.
Put them in a scuba suit. Oh, my God. Even better than that would be taking Jaws out of the water. Anyway. All right. Our final topic tonight is also about taking things into places where they may not usually be. But instead of taking franchises into space, we're going to take superheroes and put them into genres that they wouldn't usually belong to. So, here we go. Okay, so I don't usually explain my song choices.
Why did you make me listen to that again?
So here's the thing. I have heard this song probably like way too much for my entire life. I don't know when it was released, but I know that I've heard it since I was like a child and it was featured in like the trailer for Flipper with Elijah Wood. And
Elijah Wood was in Flipper? Man. I forgot this.
Anyway, so what happened is I heard that song, and for basically my entire life, I thought that the lyrics were "the right time, the wrong me." And so I always thought it was about a guy who was, like, apologizing to a girl for, like, being a dick to her and, like, on a date or something. And he's like, "Hey, look, like, you were there at the right time, but it was wrong me. Give me another chance." And I thought, oh, you know, we're talking about superheroes and taking them out of their superhero genre element. It makes sense because it's, like, the right time, but the wrong them. Like, all this. But then I found out that the fucking title of the song and the actual lyric is "the right time to roll to me."
Yeah, so not quite there.
So not quite what I thought. But by this point, when I finally figured that out, I was like, well, I'm not thinking of another goddamn song to put at the beginning of this, so I'm going to keep it, and I'll just explain what happened. So that's Del Amitri, "Roll to Me." And I can't believe that I'd had the lyrics wrong for so long. That's it. That's, like, hope to everyone out there. Brian Rowan sometimes gets things wrong. I was not, however, wrong about the Flipper movie. 1996 adventure and family movie starring Paul Hogan and Elijah Wood.
It has Paul Hogan?
It has Paul Hogan in it.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, I
don't remember this at all.
Bill's
my
mind
memory
is blown.
It's so bad.
Anyway, moving on from Flipper. So we're gonna take this opportunity to take a single superhero, either DC or Marvel or whomever, and move them out of what is broadly defined as the superhero genre and put them into a new genre. So, like, Logan came close to this by taking Wolverine and putting him in what is essentially a remake of Shane. So we're going to do that. You can either tell us what genre, or if you'd like to narrowly define it by the specific movie you're thinking within that genre. So let's start. We started with last time with Michael. Let's start with Bill.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going to stick with what I mentioned in the Slack channel, and I'm going to go with Thor in a detective caper kind of noir film. If you've watched Thor in any of the Avengers films or any of his standalone films, I'm sorry about that, by the way. he is a smash first, talk later kind of guy. And putting him in a detective role where he has to be careful and he has to be like quiet and he has to snoop around, to me, seems like the most hilarious thing I can imagine. You take away his hammer, he becomes a little bit more vulnerable. And I'm going to cheat a little bit and add someone to the list, and that is going to be Paul Rudd as Ant-Man, as his sidekick, because, you know, he's got to sneak into somewhere, and so he seeks the advice of a human, and that would be Ant-Man as Paul Rudd. And they could get into some hijinks together that would be hilarious. I haven't really thought about it too much beyond that. Just me thinking about Thor having to snoop around is hilarious to me because, like I said, he, in all of his film appearances so far, is very much just use the hammer. Don't talk about it. Don't snoop around. Just, you know, constantly. And he's a goofball. Like, he doesn't understand Earth very well. He doesn't understand how to modulate his tone and things like that. And I can see him just going terribly wrong at first and having to get himself out of those situations without his damn hammer. And it amuses me to see someone that big and burly have to use his mind.
There was a mini film that they did that was like Thor
and his roommate.
Yeah. And his roommate was like Kyle, and
they
was
did
a normal
two of those.
Guy.
Yes. And he talks about the mind being a muscle, and he says that his whole body is made of muscles, so he's smarter than Kyle, obviously.
Oh, God. All right, Michael Snydell.
Well, so I, going off I'm going off of Logan. You know, the one thing I really liked about Logan that I would like explored in a full movie is the sense that he's been around forever and his distaste with kind of still being alive, an annoyance of living through generations upon generations. Going back to even, you know, the first Wolverine movie, X-Men Origins, which is a terrible movie, but the intro I love, which is just kind of following Logan through a montage of different wars. I believe it starts at the Civil War and up through at least one of the World Wars. So I was thinking about it, and I want – it doesn't necessarily have to be during wartime, but I think that would be a good setting. And I want kind of a gothic vampire romance in the vein of Interview with the Vampire, or even like more recently Only Lovers Left Alive with Logan. And I'm not sure he needs, you know, like a wry, sardonic sidekick who I can't think of at the moment because I don't have familiarity with which X-Men would also have these same traits of, living forever. But
if you want to give him someone obvious, then it's got to be Blade.
Oh, shit. Okay, I love that. All right. Yeah. Bill, do you want to hijack this?
I actually was thinking that you were going to be talking about Blade, and then you kept swerving back towards Logan. So
I haven't seen Blade. It's on the list.
You haven't seen any of them?
I have seen Blade Trinity. That is not a good.
Oh, no.
No.
You started in. You went backwards, my friend.
It is
on
seen
all
a lot,
of the
Bill.
Jaws movies. I've only seen 3 and 4. Is that bad? The one in SeaWorld and the one with the old woman?
Oh, man.
Yeah. All right. Well, Bill. It made mine instantly better. But yeah, I just want Logan.
And he didn't even have to put anyone in a space suit.
His suit! Put him on suits!
How would Logan's space suit work? Because he would need to be able to put his claws out, but he couldn't.
You just
like,
have metal extenders. You have those, metal extenders.
But those would also have to be adamantium.
Guys, you know we're on a new topic, right?
Yeah, we are. But I'm just curious now. Okay.
He just goes Hail Mary, Brian. Goes Hail Mary.
Well, he can't
he
die,
just
so depressurization, right? That wouldn't be a problem for him.
No, he can die. Spoiler alert.
Oh, well, yeah, but that was, you know, I'm talking about youthful, and it doesn't matter. Anyway, Michael Snydell, did you have anything to add now that Bill had made yours better?
I've already been shamed because I haven't seen the Blade series. So, yeah, no, I want him to be, he's already really tired of life and Logan. So I just want a whole movie of him just being hateful and self-loathing in a fun way. Okay. You know what? Maybe we should get Taika Waititi to do it, actually.
All right. So I've got.
Or Jarmusch. Jarmusch, you know, he could go back to that well.
Yeah. All right. So mine's a little different than both of yours. There's a particular kind of movie that comes out every year, usually it's Sundance, and it's the sad guy returns home where he hasn't been in a while. And
hold on, Brian.
Okay.
Hold on, Brian, real quick. Hugh Jackman, born 1968. Wesley Snipes, born 1962. So they're not too far away. This could work.
God damn it. So what I was going to say
get toe on the horn.
there's this sad person coming home for the first time in a while thing. We've seen it in like The Judge. We've seen it in a lot of movies. Garden State was one. But what
Manchester
I'm really thinking of, what was that?
Manchester by the Sea.
Yes, that is what I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of Manchester by the Sea, and I want it to be starring Captain America. So One of the things in these movies, these particular kinds of movies, is the guy comes back and everyone's like, oh my god, that's whoever. Because whoever apparently leaves these particular pockets is apparently like someone who everyone always knows. Usually they might have left because of something that everyone knows about. So I think it would be interesting for Captain America, after being de-thawed and perhaps after like defeating the aliens? I can't remember their name. He comes back to Brooklyn. And everything has changed. But certain people on the block still know him. because, you know, he was in World War II. There are people from World War II who are still alive now. And not only that, but their children might remember him because he was, like, you know, 18, 20. And so, like, you know, some six-year-olds might be there. And so I want him to come back. And I want him to have to reconnect with his community. And also, I just want to see him see how much everything has changed. Because his Brooklyn was Brooklyn of World War II era. It was very working class. You know, there were a lot of docks, a lot of stuff happening. And now it's like yogurt and trendy clothing stores and macrobiotic enemas. And so I want something to happen. Like, maybe he finds out that, like, his mother's house is still technically in his name and it's basically, like, preserved. And so he goes and, like, goes to this house, and, like, suddenly the old man next door is like, my God, is that Steve Rogers? And so it's like the plot of all these movies, except it's nothing but a bunch of geriatrics and Chris Evans, and he still has to wade through the same nonsense and deal with all the same stuff, like some old woman saying, oh, I remember your mother was just so heartbroken, and she didn't know where you went, and no one would tell her anything because you were on a secret military thing, and, like, oh, she's just heartbroken. And so he's got to, like, try to make amends with the spirit of his mother, who, of course, isn't a real spirit, but just an existential idea related to his unmooredness from time and the loss of everyone that he once knew. And I think that with Kenneth Lonergan writing and directing, it could be a very, very powerful movie, because it's everything about those other movies, but, like, amplified. The changes
are bigger.
How do
you not make Captain America incredibly boring?
How do you not make him incredibly boring?
Yeah.
Because now he's not, like, a superhero guy. He's, like, a guy from the block who has to, like, you know, how was Manchester... Well, I know that you didn't like Manchester by the Sea as much as the rest
That's
of us,
not...
But how,
okay.
How was Manchester by the Sea not incredibly boring? Because you make him a character, so you've got to actually write the character and do it well. But I think it would be interesting, like I said, to amplify everything through the lens of this guy has been frozen for 70 years. So to him, it's all the same in himself, but the world has moved on. And so it's like basically taking that thing that they, like, give one scene to in every movie and turn
the Haley
it into
Atwell
an entire
scene.
Movie. I'm sorry, say that again?
Like the Haley Atwell scene in Winter Soldier. Yeah.
Didn't she die in Civil War? Like, of old age, he had to go to her funeral?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah.
Yep.
Bill, can you?
She does.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's what I want. I want that. The other thing I was thinking of is...
I gotta say, I don't think Chris Evans gets enough credit. He's quite good when you give him the right role.
Oh, I love Chris Evans. Don't get me wrong.
So, yeah.
I just don't think he can hold a movie for me, at least. I don't think he can anchor a movie, I should say. I think that within the chemistry
of
the Avengers...
What did you think of the train movie?
Snowpiercer?
I did not see the train movie.
Snowpiercer? You didn't see?
Oh, Snowpiercer? No, but I don't think he's charismatic in that at all.
Oh, really?
I think Snowpiercer's okay, but, like... I haven't seen Sunshine either.
Oh, my God. Damn. All right. Well, I don't know what to tell you then.
You see Blade and Sunshine.
Okay. It's not only the actor, though, Chris Evans. I just think the way that the character has been written, and maybe if he was given different material, as you said, Brian, and it amplified his melancholy. But, like, I just think that there's something about his presence that isn't weighty enough. It's why I think he works in conjunction, you know, with these superhero team up movies so well.
I think in the second Captain America movie, he is really dark and moody in that film. He's dealing with a lot of shit.
Yeah, but I honestly, I find Bucky more interesting in that one than Captain America.
Sure, Bucky's the interesting character in that film, for sure. Like, he's the unknown.
Sure. Yeah, I didn't say they couldn't do it. I'm just saying...
There are definite hurdles.
That's what I think.
There are hurdles, but I think... But that's kind of the purpose of this, is, like, we wanted to shake up the stolid, stuffy, like, holes that these characters have been written into, like they did with Logan. Sure. You know, you take the guy out... And my other thought... And because we are miraculously running below time, I'm going to spend 2 seconds talking about this. I want one of those goofy, like, kind of mix-up movies where, like, someone gets to live their life in a different way and, like, see what they've missed. like The Kid, I think, was the one with Bruce Willis.
Okay.
And didn't to fucking Nicolas Cage had one too, I think.
The Family Man?
Yeah. Or like in another way, you could have It's a Wonderful Life type of thing. But I want that with Tony Stark. Like I want to see a world in which Tony Stark like rejected his father, not by just being an asshole, but by like dedicating himself to some other thing and like raising a happy, functional family. And you could have current Tony Stark observing Family Man Tony Stark and like making his little quips, but like slowly coming to realize that like, oh man, maybe I missed out on the opportunity for something more. And then you could end that any way you want. Either he like seems to have a giant epiphany, but then has like a laugh line at the end where he's like, but he's poor. And so he doesn't do anything. Or you could conversely have it so that family Tony Stark and his entire family are murdered and subjugated by the aliens that came at the end of the Avengers. And he realizes that even though he has given up his chance for like a more meaningful existential happiness, he's traded in for ensuring that that happiness can exist for other people. I hear no reactions, so I'm assuming it's a terrible idea.
No, that's good. That's good.
Right.
I guess the thing for me is like these characters are just really far from real people at this point. That's my own hang up.
That's why we're doing
like,
this, Mike.
No, I know. It's just difficult for me to think of that. And then I'm also like, oh, but once you make this, you're taking talented people from making something original, and then it's just a cycle of me being an asshole.
Like,
oh, Jesus Christ.
Did you not enjoy Logan?
I did. I just like...
Then imagine all of these are just,
I don't know.
Just imagine all of these are just as satisfying as Logan.
It is true that time for creatives is a finite resource, but I think that we're already stuck with these characters and these franchises. I think that you can shake them up a bit to make it a little more interesting. Because
put them in spacesuits.
Fair enough.
Put them in spacesuits. Send them to space. Get them in a weird genre. Because Michael, instead of thinking about it like, oh, if they weren't making Manchester or Captain Manchester by the Sea, the way you seem to be thinking about it is, oh, instead of making, or they could have made like a brand new whole cloth movie instead of Captain Manchester by the Sea. But by the way I see it, or choose to see it for this particular thought exercise, is Captain Manchester by the Sea is happening in lieu of Captain America 4, oh god, it's aliens again.
Sure.
Right.
Guys.
Bill Graham.
George Miller directed Happy Feet and Happy Feet 2.
Which,
in between his Mad Max films.
That need to
what
go
about
into
it?
Space.
Okay. So you know, just because you take a creative person away from something for a little while doesn't necessarily mean they aren't going to come back with a vengeance, right? So, you know, and I think honestly this is how the studio system is working these days. If you make a blockbuster film that makes a good amount of money, you are giving a certain amount of leeway to – look, there's a whole podcast about it called Blank Check.
Like, yeah, that's a good podcast.
Yes. I've been listening to way too much of it lately. And that, so that's what that whole like podcast is about. Is
that podcast
is
almost
they
made
make,
me watch The Terminal again.
They basically make it very clear that when you have success, you basically are given an opportunity. Would Inception exist if Nolan hadn't made The Dark Knight? Absolutely not. It would have never been made.
And the
probably Interstellar
existed without a yeah. I mean, like that's what happens. You start paying your dues and you're able to do something else.
Yeah.
But I feel like this is something to talk about another time. But I feel like some of these people might not be, especially like working in the Marvel system, may not be getting a blank check. They may just be getting like a bigger allowance, if you will. But
yeah.
That's something we can talk about another time. In fact, that's a very good idea, and we should mark that down to talk about after whatever the next big Marvel movie is. But for now,
again, I'm not trying to dismiss this topic at all.
Incredibly goofy topic.
I know it's easy to be in like, space. They could be creatives could be doing something else. But I think it's rather reflected the fact that like when I think of some of these characters, they do need exactly what you said, Brian, a rehabilitation.
Yeah.
Like that they become so goofy and so shtick based and so untethered from any real stakes that like even thinking of this stuff just feels weirdly derivative to me in the sense of that then you'd be forcing these characters into another context. I guess Logan was a positive example of this, though I think some of its genre conversations are, you know, a little bit overblown. But
the way that I would choose to look at this is like when you're watching Top Chef and they're given like a trial to make something interesting out of something boring. Particularly, there was one time when they were only given like $3 worth of quarters and put in front of a normal vending machine. And they were told like, okay, you'll be able to use like three ingredients from the kitchen, but your other ingredients have to come out of this vending machine. And so like some of the people created like some really interesting things. And then one guy who was like a line cook at Chili's or something was like a dick about it and just stuck a Dorito or a Cheeto into a Milky Way bar. And the judges were not impressed. But anyway, what I'm thinking is something like that. You know, you're given these things that have kind of been seen as junk food and you're trying to create something interesting with them that maybe can even comment on the nature of what we consider junk food and whether or not it's more like comfort food.
Yeah, Michael, don't put a fucking Dorito in your Snickers bar.
Don't just fucking shove a Dorito in a Snickers bar, Michael.
You know, I would try that. You never know.
God damn it.
I would try it if like you crushed up the Dorito or Cheeto and sprinkled it over the Snickers bar, but like just jamming it into the middle of it, then you're just eating a Snickers bar, and then at some point there's a fucking Dorito in your way. Let's get out of here. That's all for today. We are brought to you again by Mubi, the streaming online cinema where they select a new film every day for you to check out for 30 days. So if you were to sign up for your free trial now, you would have 30 whole days. You would basically have the life cycle of one of their movies to check out a bunch of their films. So do that. Check it out. See what they got. They've got a beautiful app.
Unless your life cycle is like Logan or Blade.
I said the life cycle of a movie. First of all, I'm not trying to imply that people who sign up for a movie are going to die in 30 days. That is very bizarre.
Yeah, like just 7.
Like a weird Ring scenario. Okay, anyway, so you can go to mubi.com/filmstage for your free 30-day trial. And then if you don't want to die after that 30 days, you should sign up and continue to get Mubi every day for the rest of your life. However long it is. Guys, when we talk next, we may be recording late this coming weekend because it is in fact Easter and we are all doing stuff. So we may be late, but we will be talking about Fate of the Furious, the new Fast and Furious film. And so that'll be coming at you as soon as we can get it to you. Looking forward.
At least one of our co-hosts is doing some catch up this week.
Bill Graham is catching up with the entire series. Quite the opposite of Danny King when we talked about the last Fast and Furious movie, where I literally shouted at him, "Don't you dare watch one of these movies." And we just got to have his opinion on 7 completely free of context. Ah, good times.
It's a bizarre curiosity and worth looking for.
Yeah, it's definitely worth seeking out. But anyway, guys, let's tell the fine people at home where they can be found between now and the next time we speak. Bill Graham.
You can find me wondering about how vampires in spacesuits would work and whether the loss of air would affect them positively or negatively.
I would say the greater question is, like, what do they do about the sunlight?
Oh, they gotta like pull down the shades,
they
man.
They gotta like make sure that they're rotating correctly with the craft so the sun isn't getting through. All right, anyway.
But yes. I like this idea so much. Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I'm gonna be going on about that on Twitter at CableBFG. I also write about movies on the Film Stage and freshfiction.tv.
All right, Michael Snydell.
You can find me now dreaming forever about dinosaurs in space on Twitter at @snidell. And then I write things for Film Stage and Paste Magazine, and I never say it here, but I actually have a Letterboxd here, which I try to do brief thoughts on random-ass movies. So you could check me out there.
And you can find me on Twitter at Brian J. Rowan. My Letterboxd is the same. You can also find me writing at my personal site, dearfilm.net, and on thefilmstage.com. I've been watching a bunch of really weird movies recently, and I should be doing more than just getting a Letterboxd star rating, so I'll have to start doing that, because like today I watched JFK and the Talented Mr. Ripley. So check that out. Maybe I'll start doing that. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much, and tune in next time. And I say